Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're brought to you by the Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers, Chevy Drive Chicago. With Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. We are both doing this remotely. Hawks in action tonight. They'll host the Islanders at the United Center at 7:30. Chief, you are just off the slopes. Where are you right now?
Haven't quite hit the slopes yet, but I got the – I'm all backwards here – the sign there, Park City. So I'll be, as soon as we're done recording this, I'll be heading to the mountain and skiing kind of through New Year's. So nice little trip.
Great. Well-deserved and enjoy it. Is there plenty of snow? Because I know some people.
No, that's a big concern. So we drove in yesterday and you're like, huh, you know, not great. And I had seen like little TikToks and videos of just barren slopes, but it looks like, you know, they have a decent enough base, but I don't know if all the trails are necessarily open. But, right, you know, I'm kind of a greens and blues kind of guy, so I'm not too worried about having, like, the deep powder for some of the bigger, harder
you're
trails.
You're also a lodge kind of guy, right? You know, like
a little après ski, yeah. a little cocktail at the end, sitting by the fire, not too bad, yeah.
Watch some World Juniors. Speaking of the World Juniors, Tony Granato is going to join us a little bit later on in the show. He is broadcasting the World Juniors, the USA Games for the NHL Network. So we'll get into that because it's been an exciting tournament so far. A lot of great things to see as far as Blackhawks prospects. But let's get to the team that is currently on the ice and guys that are hopefully going to be returning soon. Connor Bedard was on the ice at Fifth Third Arena yesterday before practice, not taking shots. Chief, he's still probably a couple weeks away, but at least a good sign that he's out there. And Frank Nazar has moved on to eating solid foods.
Hey, good for him.
Oh, yeah.
Right in time towards the end of the holidays. He's got. I hope he didn't miss too much of that Christmas dinner.
Yeah, you weren't the only one on a liquid diet over the holidays. So was Frank. And hopefully he'll be his time frame is kind of lining up maybe similar to Bedard's, like mid-January.
Yeah, which is a shame. I think we did the math a couple weeks ago on the show where it's like if they both come back mid-January, it would have been about 12 or 13 games for Frank and about 16 games missed for Bedard. So obviously, what is that, like 20% of the season? So you saw that they were right, you know, a point or two within the wild card when those guys left, and they have tanked to the bottom of the NHL without them. So it just shows what an impact those guys have. And yeah, it's unfortunate that we were having kind of a dream season, more or less, like a year ahead of schedule when those guys went out. And now that I would assume that it's just too tall of a mountain to climb to get back in that race. But it kind of shows that, you know, Bedard MVP of the league, because without him, they're the worst
team.
It's
really shown how important he is to this team. I think they're 1-7 without him. They're now at the bottom of the West with just 34 points. They're 7 points out of the final wild card spot. And they've got 8 teams to jump.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's not looking, but here's the thing. Like, just like, you know, like you look at the Bears loss to San Francisco. So many encouraging things from that loss to make you feel good big picture about the team. I think the same can be said about this Blackhawks team. I know some people are starting to clench their teeth and like, here we go, step back. And I don't see it that way. I think this past weekend was a perfect example, Chief. You go to Dallas on Saturday, the first game out of the Christmas break. You fly in day of because of the Players Association rules and the NHL rules that you have to come in day of game. It was the second longest travel of any of the teams that played on Saturday. You don't have a morning skate. You've been off since Tuesday, and you're taking on arguably the second best team, if not the best team in the West. and you're without your key players, you're without Ilya Mikheyev, whose wife just had a baby, and you go out there and beat the Stars in a shootout. And I thought that was one of the more improbable wins. And you put Soderblom out there. I would, if we were, you know, betting guys, I would have absolutely put the mortgage down on a loss Saturday and a win on Sunday versus what happened.
Yeah, I think you're right, because obviously Pittsburgh was struggling, but that I didn't even know about all the travel, so that was news to me. Makes it even more impressive that they went and got that win coming out of the holiday with a bare bones lineup. And that, to me, I mean, maybe Dallas was a little sluggish coming after the holiday too. That could be part of the factor, but you saw Nick Lardis had the really nice shootout goal. His offensive talent is obvious. And you really just want the guys who are left there just to compete, just to play hard, compete, put up a good fight. And they did that, and they got the results out of it. So we've been preaching for years that we just want to have good habits, winning habits. And, you know, sometimes it's going to go your way if you play the right way. And that's certainly what happened in Dallas. And then Pittsburgh game with, you know, 10 minutes of that game, you're like, oh my God, like this is going to be, this got ugly and got ugly fast. But again, kind of back to your point about missing Bedard and Nazar and some people being like to step back. I'm with you. I don't think so at all. We saw enough to be like, this is very encouraging because Bedard has elevated himself into that discussion of top five players in the league. You needed him to be that type of a player if you're going to win a Stanley Cup. He's showing that he showed that he is. I know Nazar was struggling, but he was, you know, offensively, but I liked the way that he had been playing heading into when he got hurt, the couple weeks before that. And it's like, you watch this World Junior and it's like, you know, we love Nazar. We love the energy. We love the offense, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know if he's an all-star. You just need him to be a good contributing player. And you look at what Frondell's doing. I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce the UMass kid's name. He's been that good. Nestrasil or whatever his name is.
Yeah, they're saying Nestrasil. I think that, but I think Americanized, it's Nestrasil.
When he gets here and he tells me how to pronounce it, I will pronounce it however he wants. Right now, I see a lot of consonants and a lot of vowels, and I get a little bit overwhelmed. But he's 6'6", big boy, and we talked about that, like, the influx of talent they've had up front has all been like these smaller, speedier guys, Oliver Moore, Lardis, Bedard, Nazar. They're all under 6 feet. So you need some big boys for the playoffs. Nestrasil is one of those. He's got a great shot. Frondell's one of those. He's been arguably the player of the tournament so far for Sweden. And then I have loved what we've seen out of AJ Spellacy, who, when the initial lines and rosters came out, it looked like he was the 14th forward. That lasted about a period and a half. And then he has become a top six player. He's been productive. He's throwing some massive hits out there. So he's a demon. He's a dog.
Fast.
Big, fast, and mean, which is favorite combo
of
a player.
That is exactly what this lineup needs, this organization needs. He models his game after Tom Wilson. Sign me up every day for that.
I'm going to need to see him in a few heavyweight fights before we start calling him Tom Wilson. But he's a football background. He's a really good, he's a recruitable D1 type of athlete. So that's the second football guy we have between him and Mason West, another big body guy. So it's like you can see, you don't have to squint your eyes anymore and kind of dream. It's kind of right there in front of us. So if you have, you know, Frondell, which, you know, maybe he's a wing, maybe he's a center, who knows, but he looks like a top six guy who's a big body, can get to the net. And then if Spellacy can do that and Nestrasil can do that, there's guys to plug in there. And it's very encouraging. And then with this, you know, situation with Bedard and Nazar, where the team has tanked, getting another top five pick where you could have Tynan Lawrence, you know, it's probably not McKenna based on the conversation we had last week. Who was that? Saravalli we had?
Had Ben Pope.
Ben Pope. Yeah. And I've seen Gavin, who knows? It's too early to know where they're picking and who they're going to pick. But I'm starting to fall in love with the idea of the kid, Tynan Lawrence, because he is like that two-way center. Because then it's like if Bedard's your one and he's your two, then you can put Frondell to the wing. With Bedard, which I love the idea of that, a guy who can win board battles and has a big shot because Bedard's still such a great playmaker. And it's just like the puzzle pieces are starting to fit together.
Chief, have you seen Frondell's one-timer from the right flank?
Bomb. An absolute bomb.
It is a missile. It is NHL ready now.
Oh, yeah.
I could see him setting up shop on the right side of the circle on the Hawks PP1 for the next 15 years.
Yeah, and who's on the opposite side of that? It's Bedard. So if worried
Bedard's
about
– Bedard's going to have to leave his right side that he's been on a lot right now. But
that's a Blashill problem. We'll figure that out in a couple of years. But you just keep accumulating talent. And, you know, the worst thing you could have is a guy who's a bust in the top five. You know, I don't know if Frondell is a superstar, but he's looking like a guy who can play and play a complementary kind of game to what Bedard does well, a guy who can – play that two-way game, turn pucks over, and then, you know, almost like a little Marian Hossa-esque where he can protect the puck and, you know, shield guys off. But the idea of people swinging to Bedard, if they're on just not even a power play, but just, you know, put Frondell on the right wing, and they're all gravitating towards him, and we know Bedard's playmaking. The idea of him just sliding passes through the seam to Frondell for those one-time bombs, it gets me very, very excited for the future of this team.
Again, a lot more coming up on the World Juniors and the Blackhawks prospects coming up with Tony Granato here on the Hockey Show. Let's talk a little bit. You talk about size and the ability to see what we've had this season, and maybe has it changed your thought? Louis Crevier and Alex Vlasic were paired together in Dallas. They went up against the Rantanen line. They turned in one of their best performances of the season. And I talked to Jeff Blashill yesterday. He said that Louis Crevier has been the most consistent defenseman for the Blackhawks all season, and he by far has been the biggest surprise to him. That is high praise coming from Blashill. I don't know where you had Crevier slotted at the beginning of this season as far as the D depth chart, but I had him as a, you know, in the big picture, a really good third pair defenseman. He's starting to creep up a little bit where, you know, top four looks like it's going to be his place long term. And there's a lot to like about his game.
Oh, absolutely. He was kind of a forgotten man, at least in my eyes, where it's like you're looking at all of kind of the fringe prospects, where Nolan Allen played, what, half a year last year. We saw Ethan Delmastro at the end. Kind of both guys more stay-at-home defensemen like a Crevier. And Crevier just kind of passed them by and continues to pass guys by. And it's like when you have him and Vlasic out there, it's like they can – with their reach, because they're both over 6'6", and so the long sticks and the skating, it's like, you know, Red Rover, send, you know, Tyler Seguin right over, he's shut down, right? It doesn't matter who's coming at them, because they cover so much ground that it makes them transition defense very difficult guys to play against. And they both do, like, the little simple things pretty well. They know who they are. They're not trying to do anything crazy. They make a good first pass, a simple pass, and, like, when they're in trouble, you know, the glass is their friend. They just, you know, they use it to their advantage. And that's kind of like, you know, a little old school, you know, in the era of like a Quinn Hughes, which just skate your way out of trouble and find a pass. Like, not everybody can do that. They do the little things right and live to see another day and get right back out there. And they're definitely a pair that I would trust in big situations, you know, up one goal late or on a penalty kill. Like, they're both turning into very competent, solid defensive players. And again, like, those are things when you've drafted Korchinski and you have Levshinov, who's kind of a more of a two-way guy. Renzel's definitely known as like an offensive guy. They're all three of those guys are also pretty big and long and can skate, but there's just something a little bit different about having like that. It's almost like they're erasers back there. Like, they're calm and they eliminate players and plays, and they're not overly physical, but they're very difficult to play against. And we've seen Crevier have a little bit more nastiness. Like, he's had a couple scraps this year. So he can kind of – enforcer's too strong of a word, but it's like, that's a big, scary boy out there who, you know, even if he's not plowing you into the boards, he's a hard guy to get around and to play against because he just takes up so much space.
Coming up after the break, the Blackhawks are 0-4 in game two of back-to-back. And wait till you hear the goal differential in those four games. This is a definite thing that the Hawks have to address. That's next. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
The Hockey Show. When you're at home, don't miss Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rolling on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Chevy Drive Chicago with Barstool Chief, who is just off the slopes in Park City, Utah. I am
Chief of the Mountain.
Chief of the Mountain. That's we should get that printed. Obvious shirts. Get on that. Or Barstool.
Yeah.
Well, probably would start there, right?
I love the Obvious Shirts guys, though, so yeah. That's fine with me, too.
So we are getting ready for Blackhawks hosting the Islanders. Matthew Schaefer tonight at the United Center at 7:30. I'll have pregame at 7 for that. And the Hawks coming off of back-to-back games this weekend. So they win in Dallas on Saturday night, 4-3 in a shootout. Just their second win beyond regulation this year. So they had been struggling big time. But then they go and lay an egg against the Pittsburgh Penguins and lose 7-3 on Sunday. So check this out. They have now gone 0-4 in game twos of the back-to-backs. They have lost 9-3, 7-1, 4-0, and now 7-3 to Pittsburgh. That's being outscored 27-7, Chief. That is a thing.
Yeah, make note of that if you're a gambling guy, because they have done nothing but lay eggs and get their doors blown off in the second half of back-to-backs. I do think that that is just a little bit of, we have an exceptionally young team. A lot of guys play in the NHL for the first time. A lot of guys playing, you know, back-to-backs for the first time, where it's just, it's so many games and such a short amount of time and the travel. I don't worry about it too much long-term, but it is a problem for this year, because you don't want to – and it does kind of feel like when – in games like that, because I think they've got, what, four games where they've given up seven or more this year?
Yeah.
It does have a little bit of a feel like when things start going bad, they have a hard time wrestling games back. It's like the snowball starts rolling downhill and they just get squashed. So I hope that that's not going to be a thing going forward, but it's something that they need to – you know, it's like, I don't even know what you do, you know, it's like,
yeah,
how do you, it's not like you can prepare more. I'm sure Blashill's in there being like, hey, like, we gotta be ready to go play simple, short shifts, all those things to keep your legs fresh and have the right recovery after the game. But it's tough. And it's, you know, we certainly saw that with Connor, his first couple of years where he was dragging a little bit in the second half of back to backs and dragging as the year went along. So I think that this is just a function of, we have a lot of guys playing significant minutes in the NHL for the first time, whether it's Lev or Oliver Moore or Lardis. Like, they have so many young guys that it's just, I think this is just like a learning curve thing.
I mean, think about this, Chief. NHL. Tonight, your first line center is Green. Your second line center is Oliver Moore.
Yeah.
Both were supposed to be in Rockford this year.
Yeah, and both guys played back-to-backs in college, but then that's it. It's Friday, Saturday, and you got a week off. Yeah. So that's the schedule. It's a lot different in the travel. You know, and in college, when you're doing the back-to-backs, you're playing two games in the same rink back-to-back night. So it's not like flying to Dallas and then flying to Chicago and getting ready for Sidney Crosby. So it's just a way different equation. And I think it's just one of those things where they're going to have to take their lumps this year in the second half of back-to-backs. You don't want to get – you know, you just don't want it to be 7-3. And one of those goals was Wyatt Kaiser off the, you know, off the back and off the goalie's foot and in. So it could have been 7-2 or worse. And so you just got to have guys ready to go and looking sharper than they are. If you lose, you know, 4-2, You know, I think that's a good goal maybe for the second half of this year, is just be more competitive in those games. And hopefully that's not a thing in the future.
I think you make a great point about just like the learning curve for Bedard and the improvement we've seen in his preparation and how to handle the rigors of an NHL season in year three versus his first two.
Yeah.
I was told last year, 30 games in, that he did not have his legs many nights. And it was hard for him to, and you could see it, right? Like that's why the speed was down and he had to adjust. And so, you know, hopefully some of the guys that are in that space, the Vlasics, I guess Kaiser sort of in that, like where you've got some NHL experience, Bedard, and you're able to, you know, talk to the Nazars and the Moores and the Greens about what it takes to, you know, be ready to go with this condensed schedule. They're in a stretch right now where they're playing 21 games in 40 days. 21 games in 40 days. So little over every other day. Yeah. That is a lot. On top of that, you've got travel and you've got practices. So there's not going to be a ton of practice time either. And with a roster that is over half the roster is 24 years or younger, we're talking about a lot of guys learning on the fly here. And I think, especially in those back ends of the back-to-backs, you know, you're not going to have your A game. You may not have your B-plus game. But you've got to have that B game to see, you know, you need to find ways. And really, it's defensively that you need to shore things up just to hang around. And we knew the goaltending was going to come back down to earth. I thought, you know, Spencer Knight had one of his rare off nights on Sunday against Pittsburgh. He was not good. Yeah. That's and Soderblom arguably, you know, had one of his best on Saturday, go figure, against Dallas. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. We'll see how Brossoit enters the equation. If he continues to show some promise in Rockford and his sparse starts there, we'll see if maybe they move him into the mix. With all these games, you know, you could make a case if you're playing three and four nights, maybe trying to give him an opportunity at the NHL level and boost his stock.
Yeah, that too. And then it's also Spencer Knight has never had a full year as the number one.
That's good.
You know, so I think that's part of the equation too, where if he's used to playing, well, I wonder what his max games were down in Florida. I would say max 30, you know?
Yeah, I think it's probably just short of that.
Right. So if he's on pace to play 50, 55 games this year, he's a guy who's going to have to learn how to like keep his body and mind fresh over a course of an 82 game year too. And I think people forget how young he is and the experience he is as a goalie, because the talent is obvious and the start was incredible, but he might have heavy legs right now as well. So I think that's part of the equation. You'd hope coming out of Christmas break and not playing Saturday, he would have been a little bit more sharp. It just wasn't the case, but I think it's his load management is going to be something to watch. And maybe there is a good argument for carrying three goalies and getting Brossoit in there.
Coming up next, we're going to talk World Juniors. There's a lot of promising things coming from the land of 10,000 lakes as far as Blackhawks prospects. And with the Hawks looking at another probably top three pick in the upcoming draft, what draft eligible players have stood out so far in the tournament? Tony Granato joins the Hockey Show next.
You're listening to the Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WTBC, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station. The Hockey Show.
Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief, a.k.a. Ryan Brandel. I am Pat Boyle. We are getting you ready for the Hawks and Islanders later tonight at the United Center, 7:30 puck drop there. My partner, usually on the pre-intermission and post-game festivities, is the one and only Tony Granato, but he joins us from Minnesota. He's calling the U.S. games of the World Juniors for the NHL Network. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Pat. It's a little chilly up here in the Twin Cities, but it's been an entertaining start to the World Junior Championships, that's for sure.
Yeah, the U.S. is 3-0. They beat Slovakia last night in a shootout, 6-5, a back-and-forth game. U.S., of course, going for the three-peat at the World Juniors. What have you seen thus far from Team USA and a big game against Sweden coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, well, what they've done, both Sweden and the U.S. have done what everybody expected them to do to win their first three games and set up that game in the A pool, New Year's Eve, this game against Sweden, to be the one to decide who wins the A group, and everything's gone as planned. It's been a little bit different than how close some of these games have been, as the U.S. squeaked by Switzerland in the second game, and then last night's, like you said, shootout game was one of the most entertaining games I've seen in a long time, the 6-5 win over Slovakia. So I think more people probably coming into the tournament thought that the games would have been a little bit more lopsided, but Canada's had their struggles on their side with some tight games as well, and so I think what you're seeing is just the evolution of where hockey is today around the world is these countries, the smaller countries, are getting better and closing the gap a little bit, and it's making for a real entertaining tournament so far.
This is a Blackhawks-centered show, obviously. I feel like AJ Spellacy has been having a very impactful tournament for Team USA. What have you seen out of him that's encouraging for his future? And what do you think a timeline for him would be to get to Chicago?
Yeah, well, AJ Spellacy is probably one of those players coming into this tournament. He hasn't had a ton of experience with Team USA. He didn't play on the development team. He's playing, you know, juniors over in Windsor. So his experience of playing with a lot of these players is somewhat new to him compared to the rest of the group. And what he's done is exactly what I think he's going to do for the Blackhawks. He's going to give them a role player that's going to do a lot of things that a lot of other players don't do consistently, and that's take on minutes as a big body guy that's just going to grind you out. He can skate. He can kill penalties. He can move up and down your lineup a little bit. He can play wing. He can play center. But he's hard to play against. And the thing that's impressed me most is, you know, the team has needed some offense, especially in the first two games against Germany and the other game against Switzerland. And his line has been the line that's energized the team and gotten them going offensively. So he's off to a great start to this tournament offensively. He's got a ton of confidence right now. I think his game is growing by having, you know, really his first big stage of playing in a World Junior tournament. So Blackhawk fans, you're going to get a guy that is going to be a big, solid, you can call him a power type of forward that has the ability to find a role and fit it well. And I think his timeline, I do think he'll finish the year in Windsor. Obviously, already under contract, I think he's going to get a sniff to play some games at the end of this year. And I think he'll be in the Blackhawks lineup real soon.
Tony Granato joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Another Blackhawks prospect, Anton Frondell, has been he's kind of been the talk of the tournament so far. Three goals, a couple assists. His one-timer, Tony, I was saying to Chief earlier in the show, it looks NHL ready. I mean, it is elite. You could see him setting up on the right flank on the Blackhawks' top power play unit for years to come.
Absolutely. I see. And it's interesting. I didn't know that was one part of his skill set that was already as polished as it was. I thought he'd be, if you know, a power play guy, more net front, maybe bumper. I could see him being a shooter on the side, but not somebody that has a one-timer like that, that's at that level already. So that was somewhat a new skill that I hadn't seen, or at least I hadn't wasn't aware of. And so, yes, that was impressive. But he's off to a great start. Three goals, two assists in his first three games. He's been a factor as far as every shift. He's a grinding type of player down the mill. That's a big body. Down the walls, he's good. And the other thing that, Pat, I was really impressed with, he knows our show. I saw him yesterday, and I talked with him, and we started talking about Pat Boyle and Kaylee Chelios and the pregame, postgame stuff. And he was all fired up to have a connection to talk to somebody from Chicago on how excited that he was when he was there in the summer, how excited he is to be part of the Blackhawk organization. So real nice kid. That was the first time I had a chance to talk to him. And I will go down and see him after every Swedish game now just to say hello. And I know he'll want to talk more about Blackhawk hockey. So it's timeline for him. I mean, with the skill set he has, he's obviously still a kid that's still trying to find his way. But man, oh man, for an 18-year-old kid, and I guess he just turned 19, he's going to be someone that is a foundation piece that fits with the Bedard and the Nazar and the Levchinov and the Renzels and the Vlasics. Real soon, he's going to be a big part of it.
Do you think he fits in, looking forward, as more of a wing or a center?
I think center. I do. Okay. Obviously, he can play both. But I do think the way he moves around the rink, he's a big kid. He's still going to put on some weight to help support that. But he's strong on his skates. He is strong down low, protecting pucks. He's got a great stick and awareness defensively. He's very well coached. And he's playing against bigger guys now in the professional league. So I do think center is a position. But the Blackhawks will decide that when he does get inside the organization. But I'd be surprised if they think that winger, being a wing is his position.
Tony, the third Blackhawks prospect in this World Juniors tournament is Vaclav Nestrasil from Czechia. He's already made the highlight reel with no look passes and no look goals, which that's news to me. What have you seen from Nestrasil, and what has impressed you so far about this Blackhawks prospect?
Yeah, I haven't seen him live because they're in the other pool and it's a different rink. So the Czechs are over on the other side. So I did see those goals. I did see those plays. It's just deception. And this was, it's amazing. Young kids now, 18, 19 years old now, are understanding that, the NHL is getting better. The players are getting better. And to be able to understand, to add, that type of a skill to your skill set at such a young age is really important. And yeah, he looked off players in a way like a basketball guy would be, looking like he's going to pass one way and he goes a different way. And the same thing on that goal he scored, it looked like he was going to make a pass and he got it to the net. The goaltender was leaning and was able to score off of it. So I just think it just shows that the IQ of a young man that understands, to make it to the next level, to get better than the players that you're playing around you, you're going to have to do different things to do that. So he's got 4 points in 3 games, and that's impressive. And their team's exciting. Their team's a team that in the crossover is going to give somebody fits when that starts in a few days. So I think he's another one that's the Blackhawk organization has to be really excited about how his development has come. And he's going to have a really good shot at being in the organization soon.
Unfortunately, with the injuries to Nazar and Bedard, the Blackhawks have drifted down from a wild card contender to the bottom of the league. There are 3 prospects in this tournament who are projected to go in the top 5, McKenna, Verhoff, and Stenberg. I assume Canada is similar, where they're in the other pool. You haven't seen them. But who of those 3 have you been the most impressed with? And who do you think would be the best fit for the Blackhawks in the draft at this point?
Yeah, I mean, McKenna's the prize piece. I saw him play last year in the World Juniors, and I've followed him since I saw him there. And obviously, he's playing Penn State, so I've seen some of his college games. I think he's, the guy that has been projected as number 1. He's had a slow start to his college career in lots of people's mind because they expected him to light it up as an 18 or 17 year old going into college. I mean, that's a tough act to ask anybody, no matter how good you are. And to come into this tournament and lead the World Juniors, which is loaded, absolutely loaded with talent, to see how well he's doing is amazing. So I think every team would love to have him be their guy. I just don't think that Blackhawk fans want to hear that at the end of the day, to get him, you'd have to win the lottery, because I'm assuming he's going to hold number one. And the other two guys are great players. If you draft in the top three or five this year, you're going to have a player similar to Frondell, similar to Levchinov, similar to those type of skilled players. They'll have a chance to be impactful players in your organization within the next few years. So, I think the important thing for the Hawks, in the second half is, get those two guys healthy, get back to playing the way they were, just a few weeks ago. You know, the standings have been crazy this year. The parity in the league has been crazy this year. You know, it's potential you get the energy back when, one or two of those guys jump back in the lineup and you go on a 4 or 5 game run and you're right back in that wild card hunt as well. So I don't think Blackhawk fans or us as analysts should start thinking, okay, let's not worry about the rest of the year. Let's just worry about getting a good pick. I think there's a lot of good hockey to be played yet this year. And that's kind of what I'm looking forward to in the second part of the season.
Tony, Team Canada will announce their Olympic roster tomorrow. TSN's Craig Button has Connor Bedard off his final roster, the injury forcing him to pull him off and probably be the first replacement for Team Canada. The GMs are there. I know Billy Guerin is there last night. Like, are you hearing any discussion about the likelihood of Bedard being on the roster or not? And if he's not, how do you think you would handle it as a coach, delivering that news and kind of talking him through it? Because it would mean the world to him.
Yeah, and the part that's, I think, the most exciting part about it is he's earned that position to be in where he thinks he should be on the team. And where we as analysts, Blackhawk fans and Connor Bedard fans can say, what he did up until a few weeks ago when he got hurt, deserved a spot on that roster. So, unfortunately, the injury, has put the Canadian management in a little bit of a pickle on, what do we do here? At the start of the year, we thought Connor would be a nice replacement type of player or be right there. But with what he's done, he's made it really hard on us. Does the injury make it easier on him now because they can go back to their original plan of taking a more veteran team? So I think there's still lots of discussions on what the right thing to do is for the team. Like, they have to think that way. What gives us the best chance to win? And so I'm sure there are still, guys on both sides of the fence saying Connor should be on his team, or maybe we're better off, having him as a replacement player. So from a standpoint, from Jeff Blashill's standpoint, on how he should be communicating with Connor is the same way. And I think what I just said is, Connor, listen, what you've done, you've deserved, and you've earned a spot on it. But because of the injury, whether or not they name you or not, it's okay. There's lots of things that could happen between now and February. Just get yourself healthy, get yourself 100%, come back, play the same way you did, the first 30 games or so, and be ready in case they call you. I think that would be the right way to approach it.
All right, Tony, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with you and E.J. Raddick calling the rest of Team USA's run here at the World Juniors, and we'll see you back on the Blackhawks prospects in a week.
Sounds good, guys. Stay warm and get a couple Blackhawk wins before I get back.
We will try. We will try. We're back to wrap up the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 after this.
You're listening to the Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports.
On the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000. Bears Weekly. Host Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer take you inside with the latest on your team. The latest news and the best interviews. Bears Weekly, tonight at 6:30 on ESPN Chicago and the ESPN Chicago app.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. It's brought to you by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers. Chevy drives Chicago. Thanks to our producer, Brendan Riley. Thank you to our guest, Tony Granato, who joined us from Minnesota, side of the World Juniors. That Team Canada announcement is going to come tomorrow morning. And so I looked at kind of TSN's final consensus roster, and they have Mark Scheifele taking the spot that kind of everybody was earmarking for Bedard. They have him as the right wing on the MacKinnon line with Crosby. Mm-hmm. And they have Sam Bennett, one of the last to make it as an extra, and Braden Point as well. Tom Wilson on it. Matthew Schaefer, who we'll see tonight at the United Center, he makes it as one of the D. And Macklin Celebrini is on that second line with McDavid and Sam Reinhart.
What a loaded team. What an absolutely loaded team. Braden Point, you know, on the bubble. Connor Bedard on the bubble. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where you want it for Connor. I think it'd be good to him to be with other elite players, really for the first time in his life, because he didn't do Four Nations last year. Obviously, he didn't do the Worlds over the summer. So I'd like to see him on the big stage with the Crosbys and McDavids, McKinnons, and all that. But he has to be healthy. If he's not his 100% that we saw before the injury, then he's not one of those guys. And you said he was skating, but he's not, you know, shooting the puck. Like,
right.
You know, it'd be hard for me as the GM to be like, take a guy that you don't really know what he's going to be in a few weeks when that tournament starts. So I'd probably, if I were Canada, I'd probably leave him home. I also don't think that's the worst thing in the world for the Blackhawks or Connor. Let him get to, you know, Cancun for a couple, you know, for a couple days while that tournament's going on, and then be fully rested and ready to go when the NHL season resumes.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like if he doesn't make the Team Canada roster, and therefore there isn't the push to get him back in the lineup to show that he's healthy enough to play for Team Canada, do you look big picture from the Blackhawks perspective and say, look, if we wait just two more weeks and we get to that Olympic break, then he'll have another 3 weeks to make sure that shoulder and those muscles are tight, and you know, he doesn't have a shoulder separation or subluxation again, you know, and prevent any further damage being done. You know, I mean, I don't know. You get where I'm kind of thinking.
Yeah, I look at, if he doesn't make it, then I would put him on the shelf. That's what I would do. But if he's announced to the roster, you kind of have to give him an opportunity to get his legs underneath him and get him, you know, looking like he can contribute. So if he is in fact left off the team, yeah, I would shelve him and give him that extra 5 week buffer or whatever it's going to end up being, and then really try to hit the ground running full speed when the NHL season resumes after the Olympics. I think that's probably the best scenario for the Blackhawks, in my opinion. It might not be the best thing for Connor and what he wants, but you know, he's got to be healthy. He's such an important part of this team, the most important part of this team now and in the future. So if you got to sit him, you got to sit him. It is what it is.
All right. So the calendar turns this week. We enter 2026. For the Blackhawk fan that's out there, that's kind of looking at the standings and saying, what do I have to look forward to in 2026? You say what, Chief?
I think there's a lot. I think we're going to see Frondell. I think we're going to see Spellacy, you know, in April. And then we have a genuine superstar. You just want to continue to see development under Blashill with the defenseman. I hopefully Rinzel does enough to come back up this year and kind of recapture some of that swagger that he had at the end last year when he came over from Minnesota. So there's a lot to like. There's a lot to be excited about. The building's been a lot more full the last month or so. So like the buzz is feeling like it's kind of back, and I think that's a good thing. And then, you know, I think the goal for the beginning of 2026-27 season is like, this is a playoff team. And I think that's what everybody wants. And so just set yourself up to have that and hit the ground running in 26.
Happy New Year, Chief. Enjoy the slopes in Park City, and we'll see you back here in Chicago next week.
Sounds good. Happy New Year, Pat.
That's going to do it for the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
2-6 in 2026.
Waddle, waddle.
Starting Monday, Waddle and Sylvie, the longest-running show in Chicago sports content history, expand to 4 hours a day. The Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN Chicago, weekdays 2 to 6 p.m.